and to discuss that amongst a couple other things and being so gracious with his time impromptu. It's Adam Schefter. Adam, thank you for your time here on a Monday. This is sort of like you know it's coming, and then when it happens, it's kind of resets everything and has us reflecting. And I'll ask you, who has intimate knowledge of this franchise and the longstanding history of it, I mean, just how bad was this, Adam, in terms of expectations coming in, the results, and the short period of time that Russell Wilson was a Denver Bronco?
Well, it's a setback for the organization. It's got to be disappointing because you make a big move. You trade a lot of picks. You give him a big contract. And honestly, you're moving on from him 2 years later. So nobody would have been happy if you would have said at the beginning, this is the way it's going to work out. But that is, in fact, exactly how it happened. And so it's a situation where now they're left to kind of pick up the pieces and go their own way. And that's what we have right now. Not ideal. And I think what you're betting on here is that Sean Payton's got a great eye for talent, and they're going to be able to come up with a way to beat the system. You know, there are teams that make quarterback mistakes, and they overcome them. But it's not a simple thing. You know, you need to get a little lucky, too. Like the 49ers trade all those picks to move up for Trey Lance and wind up getting Brock Purdy. Denver needs a little bit of that right now. You know, whether that means Jared Stidham developing, whether that means them trading for a quarterback on the cheap, whether that means them hitting on a quarterback in the draft. You need a little bit of luck, especially when you're in a division with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, Justin Herbert and Jim Harbaugh. You know, that makes it even more challenging. But this is what they're up against, and it's a big challenge, and I'm sure there's a part of them that appreciates that as well.
Adam, after the releasing of Russell Wilson and coming back from the combine, do you think that Sean Payton has fell in love with a quarterback in the combine?
Well, I think it's too early to say that, and I don't know that you fall in love with a quarterback at the combine. I think you go into it knowing that there's a guy you really like or a couple of guys you really like, and it's just affirmed when you get the chance to meet with them or watch them in Indianapolis. I don't think it's like he goes to Indianapolis, he sees somebody work out, and then you say, oh, my God, that's a guy we have to have. Like, you know, there are stories about the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes where after his freshman year, the general manager, Brett Veach, was popping into quarterback room and telling Alex Smith all about Patrick Mahomes. And there are stories about John Schneider in Seattle and Russell Wilson, you know, early in his college career, identifying him and going to a bunch of his college games. It doesn't just happen. You go to Indianapolis, you're like, oh, look at Sam Hartman. Wow, I like him. Or J.J. McBauer. Joe Milton throws the football really far. And I like it. It doesn't happen like that. It's a much more drawn-out, longer process where I think Sean Payton has hunches on guys well before he gets to Indianapolis.
Adam Schefter on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline with us. Adam, you look at Russell here in the last couple of years. I mean, obviously, he was a great player for a decade in Seattle. Great, with a capital G. And that alone may put him in Canton one day. But you see the way things ended with Seattle. He comes to Denver. It's mostly a disaster here over a two-year period. Now he's 36 years old and going to be looking for a new home. What do you think is next for Russell Wilson?
Well, here's the advantage that he has. There are a couple things that are in his favor. Number one, unlike Justin Fields, you don't have to compensate Denver with any draft picks. You get to basically get Russell Wilson without having to compensate Denver. Number two, Denver's paying him $39 million this year. So the overwhelming chances are that any team signing him gets him on the cheap at an incredibly friendly rate. So whereas Kirk Cousins may get $45, $50 million, whereas Justin Fields would fetch compensation, whereas Baker Mayfield's going to get a lot of money, that money's already paid for by Denver. So Russell Wilson is almost like a free square, a peg you can just plug in without having to compensate Denver or Russell very much. And I also think you get a quarterback who obviously, even after a year where he with 26 touchdowns and 8 interceptions last year. And obviously he's going to feel challenged again. He's been questioned and written off. So you'll get a good Russell Wilson. And I think he feels like, with the numbers he had last year and the way he played, he feels like he played well. And I think that he believes that his reputation has taken too much of a hit from the 1 year, his first year in Denver. And everybody struggled. The coaching staff's fired. Changes are made. And he, I think, believes that a lot of that sticks to him unfairly. 1 year of what has been a stellar career.
Adam, this is a performance-based business. You know that too well, all right? From the players to the coaches to the front office. Should George Payton be worried about his job at this point?
Well, he's still here, so I think he probably recognizes that they've got to produce. There's no doubt about that. But should he be worried about it? I don't think he worries about his job. I think he knows that they're all in a situation where they got to get work done or it's going to be a problem.
I think a lot of our listeners, are echoing Phil's question there, Adam, because you take a step back and you look at some of the major moves since George Payton came in the fold. Who, by the way, I just want to say this, Adam, like as a person, I think George Payton's a good person, a good father, good husband, well thought of around the league. So I feel like I need to shoehorn that in here. But in terms of this is a 32 GMs in the league. This is a big boy job, big boy decisions. And when they don't go well, big boy consequences. So when you hire Nathaniel Hackett, and who was an absolute disaster, he's like the fifth coach in 30 years not to see the end of season number one, where you have the worst trade in the history of the franchise and a mega deal that's given with 2 years left on the old deal that hasn't even kicked in yet. Largest dead cap in NFL history. Making the Broncos wide receiver room the number one paid in the entire NFL, where the leader in that category averages 48 yards a game. I mean, it's building up here. The Randy Gregory contract, bringing back Melvin Gordon. It's building up, and we're just wondering, like, okay, if George is not in charge anymore and it's Sean, what is George's job? The Phil's question about the job status of George, I know, is being spoken loudly or asked loudly here in Denver, if that all makes sense.
Of course. I mean, look, when big decisions go awry, usually people want people to pay for it. So, George was involved in that trade. So people want explanations and they want accountability. That's fair. But he's still there. He's still the GM. And so obviously they've given him enough slack and believe in him enough right now to continue on with him. And so he's going to have to prove himself. If there are more moves that go awry, would I be confident in his future? I think everybody knows the score. Big boys and big girls here.
Yep.
They know the deal. It's not hard to predict, right? Like, who people whose jobs are on the line and whose jobs aren't. And we know that there's a heavy investment in Sean. So, of course, and I think George would say to him that George would say to everybody he's got to produce. Like, he knows that. He he's got a great reputation around the league. That's a move that didn't work out for them. And so, that's going to be with him and on him. And honestly, again, there are teams that miss on moves all the time. It's a question of how you bounce back from that. So I think that's what they want to see. Well, what are we doing in free agency now? What are we doing in the draft? Are we getting better? If there's regression, if there are moves that make them improve, look, somebody obviously is going to be held accountable for it. So we'll see.
All right, that's the perfect place to leave it. We know you may have not had this scheduled this morning, but we really appreciate you fitting us into your schedule here on a Monday for our listeners in Denver. Adam, thank you so much.
Thank you, because I appreciate having me.
All right, there he goes, the one and the only Adam Schefter.
Mike Rowe here with a few thoughts on my favorite sweatshirt, a classic zip-up hoodie that used to be navy blue but has since faded to what the fashionistas call a distressed indigo. It's 13 years old, soft as a flannel bathrobe, and after a few hundred dirty jobs, demonstrably and undeniably indestructible. This is the kind of sweatshirt girlfriends like to permanently borrow. But I've held on to this one because I got it from American Giant. American Giant makes all their stuff right here in the USA, so they can control every link in their own supply chain. That matters, because when you buy American Giant, you not only get great quality, you create jobs for people in factory towns all over the country. No pressure, but if you give a damn about the business of making things in America, you got to support the companies who are doing it right. Go to American-Giant.com/Mike to get 20% off your first order. That's American-Giant.com/Mike.